What don't you know?
I don't know why. I always look at these backgrounds and like my background's all blurry. I don't know.
Yeah. Well,
I know there's all these settings on Zoom.
Yeah.
There's all these settings on Zoom. It's like, oh,
right. So when you're
in space, you know,
right click your video and you've got blur my background, choose virtual background, choose video filter, which I know you always like to make yourself look pretty.
I like to, yeah.
You see those?
Yeah.
Options?
I see some options.
All right. So that should have your answers.
Yeah, I see some answers.
Do you? Nothing's changed. You still have a blurry background and a bad attitude.
I just feel like there's got to be some other, like, why can't I do something fun? Why can't I be in space?
You could be. You mean like this?
Yeah, but I don't have that option.
That's ridiculous.
It doesn't give me the option. It literally
I'm in space.
Has a category that says eyebrows and then a category that says mustache and beard. That's not space.
Ooh, look at me. Ooh, didn't you wish for me? Ooh, look at the eclipse. Ooh.
I can't believe your head didn't explode.
I had a dream the other night that I was on a rocket ship. Did I tell you this?
No.
I was on a rocket ship and it beamed me through right up into space. It was like one of those like rocket packs, and it shot me right up, and I went right on through and blew up my head.
Oh wow! Did it really?
Well, I was about to. I was really freaking out. I was like, I can't go any higher. If I go higher, it'll blow up my head.
Do you think you're terrible hair day? I should have worn a hat. Do you think you're
blur your hair? That's a
toupee.
Yeah. No. There's a background for that. What were you going to say?
I assume that you have ponied up the big bucks for some level of Zoom I don't get. I get no backgrounds. Virtual backgrounds, it says none and blur. Video filters, none. Avatars, it has like this hybrid rabbit image that says create your avatar, but you have to sign in now. And I don't belong to Zoom, so I can't sign in.
So
yeah,
wait,
you can.
So you're saying you can't be this guy?
You can be a horny raccoon like you chose there.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow.
And now you're back to being your horny self.
That's right.
Honestly, now it's like, now with those glasses, you look like, and now you're a pedophile.
That's why you like when I wear these glasses so much.
It reminds me of my old days at camp as a child. You... Did you join a boxing gym? There's a visual going on here that people who are just listening to the podcast can't see. But you have a bandaged hand.
I have a bandaged hand, much like the Loudon Swain song, doom. Bandaged Hand.
Doop, doop, doop. Doop, doop, doop. Doop, doop, doop.
Yeah, for all those, for the listeners that aren't on Patreon, which is a lot of our listeners, didn't get that treat yesterday. It was revealed that I got into an accident over the weekend and I smashed my face.
Details were shared. He wanted to hold on to it until today for the big podcast recording where he was going to share all. It was going to be a tell-all, which is funny. Was it yesterday? Rob goes, as we hung up, he goes, hey, man, don't be spreading the word about this. I'm like, I'm not going to say anything about it, but aren't we doing a podcast? He's like, yeah, but we'll tell the story of the podcast.
Tread lightly when my name comes out of your mouth. I mean, just saying, don't make fun of me.
Are you doing a Will Smith thing right now? Like, I didn't even make a joke about your wife or you or anybody, and now you're saying, keep my wife's name out your mouth.
But I did slap you.
You did, and consequently, I did not give you an Oscar.
Virtually slapped you. Well, we'll get into all that. I don't want to blow it all right away because then people will just turn off. They won't listen to the podcast if I tell the story right away.
Well, I mean, but let's just talk about your reaction to the fact that you're going to tell the story and somehow I'm the bad guy that I might mention the story.
I never said that. You just said you're going to see Billy like you do every day.
Billy Moran and I have an apartment together that we down by the beach.
And I said, you know, when you talk to Billy about it, just don't, you know, be nice. That's all. And in the way of someone that wasn't going to be nice, he said, what do you mean? I'm always nice.
I am always nice. I didn't do it with the New York accent. But yes, I did say, And then I realized because you had something to do with Billy that you had to cancel yesterday because of this injured hand. So then I go, well, what am I walking into? What house of lies did you tell Billy? Why don't you tell me what to expect? Because you obviously told Billy, hey, man, I had a snorkeling incident or something. So I'm like, all right, just tell me what you told him. So I go in and go, how about that snorkeling thing, huh? Robbie and the snorkel.
Now, listeners, this is when you need to know we're in the land of lies now. We've veered off the road of truth.
I'm not saying you had a snorkeling accident, and I'm not saying you claimed to have a snorkeling accident.
Okay.
I am saying that you went with snorkeling accident
because you assumed that it was that's what I said.
I knew you said something to Billy because you were so squirrely about, like, hey, man, lay low on the Billy bit. I'm like, what did you tell?
No, I didn't. I didn't. I told you nothing but the truth yesterday. I said, no, I told Billy. We just have texted, and I didn't tell him the full story. I just said, hey, man, I fell off a bike, and I hurt myself, and I got to pull out on Monday night because I can't play guitar, and my face looks pretty shitty. And that was it. Yeah. So I didn't want you to roll in there and be like, so, ass face did it again.
I never call you ass face. Wait a minute. Oh, wait, referring to you? Yeah, no, I call you ass face.
Exactly.
Look at this. Look at the... Yes.
Screw you, Zoom.
What do they call that when you do that on when you're on a film set, when you put a branch in front of the light to get a dapple, the dappling effect?
Yeah.
We got dappling going on.
Yeah, he's for those of you that aren't ever gonna see this, he has closed a shade and there's the little strands of light that are peeking through.
Yeah, they're peeking through
the effect of the light on his shirt. And sometimes his face.
All right, so let's go back to Snorkelgate.
So I say, screw you, Zoom. We don't need your virtual backgrounds.
This is nothing virtual at this background. This is all real, baby. This is what you get.
DIY virtual.
Yeah, DIY virtual. Virtually me.
Hey, you know what I realized, too? We've got a lot of... I wanted to do this episode of Kings of Con is brought to you by... Elmar.com. And then I could play the Elmar theme songs.
Enjoy Elmar.com. That's what it is. Enjoy Elmar.com.
Elmar, it's not far. It's right here in your hand. Like beer from a can, but it's not in a can. And it's not beer, it's margarita.
Elmar!
Hecho en Mexico. Enjoy it everywhere. RTD. Ready to drink. Margarita!
Go to enjoyelmar.com.
Oi!
That's Spanish for today.
Should we be charging JC for this
high
value ad space?
Yes.
We should be.
This episode is also brought to you by M-Crow.
M-Crow, where the M stands for, we give away these ads for free.
For beer and jeans and fancy things, M-Crow.
I question our business model.
I know. I just want to play those because I haven't in a while.
You know what? Did you already say the Silver Lake Wine one?
No, this episode is also brought to you by Silver Lake Wine.
Silver Lake Wine, stay drunk all the time, thanks to Rob and Rich.
And, people may not know this episode, I'm proud of this, is sponsored by Alpo.
Hey, just maybe it's better than gravy, it's Alpo.
That's right, Alpo, food for your dogs. And for our Spanish customers, we also have it in Spanish.
No noticia falsa, mejor que salsa, Alpo.
By the way, that's all the time we have now for a podcast. That was five songs in a row.
Oh, and by the way, this is the Kings of Con podcast.
Hey, hey, what's going on? Rob and Rich are the Kings of Con.
Because I hadn't played that yet.
All right.
Okay, so now we're about 30 minutes in.
Now, Snorkelgate. Back to you and the swim fins and the wetsuit.
All right.
Let me ask you this. Because I know you're going to tell the story, and we're going to get to the story, and people are going to hear this story, because the story is a story of stories, I'm sure. Because anytime Rob Benedict has an injury, and he's like, oh, man, I got a story, it's a story. Why the cloak and dagger with Billy Moran? Why didn't you want to tell Billy? Where'd you go? You left.
Now everybody,
dude, look at those striped pants.
These are my pajama pants.
Are those Imogene and Willie?
No, man. They're Gap.
Dude, they are striped. And you're wearing slippers. Well, the day has not started at the Benedict house.
No, this is the way I dress now, man. I've got an infant.
Yeah, that's right. You don't have to go nowhere. So what's the, why no honesty?
Why no Billy?
Bella?
Because, no, I just, I look, man.
Man, I don't, and by the way, how you relate to Billy, is you guys
it's have nothing to do with Billy.
Decades.
It has nothing to, look, it has nothing to do with Billy. This thing that happened to me over the weekend that we will get to.
Right.
And we will, and you will laugh at, and people will enjoy.
Right.
I've actually been trying not to make a big look. When things like this happen to you at least once a year, at a certain point, it's not funny anymore. And I was just, I'm just laying low, man. I'm laying low. I'm going through a tricky time. I'm laying low, and I was just laying low about it, you know. And
wait, laying low about the story? Because you weren't laying low when this story happened. You're out and about.
Yeah, we'll get to that too. We'll get to that. But I mean,
so when you say laying low, you mean like emotionally laying low. You don't mean actually staying in the house.
Yeah, 20 years ago, if something like this had happened, I'd be on the phone telling everybody, "Oh my God, this happened, this happened, this happened." Just because that was my personality. I just like not to even to laugh about it. I just like told everybody everything. I was the guy that like if someone happened to someone else, I'd call 10 people like, "Oh my God, you hear what happened?" So that's just my personality. So I for this one, I didn't want to talk about it. I didn't want to talk about it. That's all. And so I just, Billy said, I had to pull out on Monday night. So I said, Billy, I had to pull out on Monday night. And
what was happening Monday night?
Our friend Blake Lewis, who's a former American Idol finalist and all around great guy and great musician.
Yeah,
super,
really
super
nice guy, really talented guy.
And he was doing a Blake and Friends show at the Hotel Cafe. And Billy and I were both sort of separately and together going to play.
Awesome.
And but he had a huge lineup of people, but I smashed my face and my hand, and I thought it would be best if I did not show up again. That was the mood I was in. I just wanted to just, you know, quietly get through it, not thinking ahead that, oh yeah, I was going to be on camera telling the whole story to you, to our, you know, small group of listeners. But anyway, so yeah, I was just laying low, man. So I just told Billy I got in an accident.
Yeah.
And I didn't tell him details. That's all. I was going to tell him later. I'll tell him the whole thing later. Billy's one of my besties. I was going to tell him everything. But I just didn't. I hadn't texted him the full story. That's all. And all I said to you was like, wait, when you take this information, because we got off of our Patreon talk and we separately as friends in quotes, had a talk.
Don't injure yourself doing those air quotes. Hold bandage hand. Dump. Dump. I got a bruising. Oh, I got a bruising.
So I just be kind, please. Be kind.
But okay, you know, what would I have said? Like in your broken brain, what would I have said to Billy?
My bandage brain?
Yeah.
Dump.
Dump.
I would have said, you would have said, did you hear? Did you hear about Babo? Yeah. What a fuck up.
Mm-hmm.
And then.
That's a really bad imitation of me, but
wow,
go ahead.
That guy's got problems. That guy's got big problems.
Right.
What are you gonna do about that guy? We thought maybe he was better, but nope, he's still fucked up.
Okay. I'm calling foul right there. When in God's name did we think it was better? What the fuck are you talking about?
Right, exactly.
That was almost an actual spit take, by the way.
It was. And this is exactly what I'm talking about. This is what I'm talking about. I mean, how, you know, my friend Steve Shembaum, we should have on the podcast if we haven't already. Have we had Steve?
No, we've never had Steve.
Oh, Steve's amazing. And Steve used to say, because Steve led a certain kind of life, and then he really did have a pretty big life change. Steve was raised Jewish, and we knew him all through college, and he, the Jewish had nothing to do with this, but it does have to do with the story. He just was a certain way. He was like the mayor. He knew everybody, and he was like, he was a partier, and he just, and has the greatest stories. He's just such a partier. And then he met someone who was Christian, and he converted, and he kind of took to the straight and narrow. You know what I mean? He's been leads a successful business. He's very successful, and his life completely changed. We still get him about once a year. We can get that old Steve back out.
Right.
But his whole thing was like, I've changed, now you change. You know, like basically like I've changed. We said you've written the book. I've changed. Now you change.
Now you change. Yeah.
Because it's like you accept me for changing, but it's hard to change around people that know your old self, right? And
sure.
When once a year you check back in and you still do those old things that you did that people know you from.
Right.
It's hard to change your ways. And as someone who's constantly trying to sort of change who I am, it's a challenge. It's a challenge because I keep winding up back with myself. Back with me.
Well,
doing the same old shit.
Are you on a path of change?
I think I've been on a path of change for about 10 years, yeah. And honestly, I'm always, I mean, even before, I was always looking to be a little bit different than I was.
Right.
Maybe that's the source of my depression. I don't know. But yeah, but it's also the source of my motivation. I'm never completely satisfied with where I'm at. So I'm constantly,
right.
You know, does that make sense, doctor? You're pondering like,
I can't tell you our time's up. I'll tell you next session.
So there's a part of me that my fear, and this is, you know, I guess this hour is just going to be Rob therapy, but like, is that my group of friends?
he heard himself doing air quotes again for people listening at home.
My friends talk shit about me behind my back.
That's biggest fear, isn't it?
It's up there. It's up there.
Me and the guys were just talking about that the other day behind your back. They're like, that's his biggest fear.
That's one of them. By the way, I hear that you and Hank, that you're having a double date with Hank and his wife Pam.
Yeah, Hank and Pam. I mean,
yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, he's taking you to a nice restaurant that we went to the other night right before my bike ride.
Place I've never heard of. I'm very excited.
It's in our neighborhood, and you're going to love it. You're going to love it. It's a shame that they don't seat six people.
They don't.
Four, but
no, they well, it's everybody has to use their right hand to eat, and now they're all bandaged and injured. Became a thing. Actually, it's seats five. Ruth is coming, but
It seats five. Okay, that's great. Well, that made me feel okay.
Actually, it does seat six. Ruth and the night nurse are both going to be there.
Her and her character.
Yeah, her and her character.
Oh, my night nurse. Yeah. Like I get it. Who babysits the baby?
Yeah,
and the baby. The baby will be there.
And the baby.
The night nurse, also the character that Ruth Connell plays in the new Netflix show, Dead Boy Detectives.
Man, that trailer looks awesome.
Yeah, coming in about a month or less than.
I take
to Netflix and episode seven. Directed by Richard Spate Jr.
Directed,
so it's all in the family. It was all in a family.
I like seeing that trailer. The trailer's great. The trailer's really good, and
it's
take great joy in seeing some of my shots in the trailer.
No, great. It's great. Yeah.
I got a great shot of Ruth in that trailer.
Yeah. I've watched your episode. It's awesome. We got a little sneak peek of the show, and it looks incredible. I think everyone's going
to
really enjoy it.
I'm going to binge the whole thing as soon as it comes out. I think that show is really cool.
It's from the mind of Neil Gaiman.
And the pen of Steve Yockey.
Steve Yockey, the writer, former writer of Supernatural, but also
Golden Globe nominee for The Flight Attendant.
Mm-hmm. And now he's going to be writing the next Star Trek movie.
The next Star Trek. Beam me up, Steve.
I know. Crazy.
He'd
beam me up if he'd return my calls.
That's actually what I texted him. I'm like, beam me up, Steve.
Did you?
Yeah.
That's funny.
He sent me like this long, long answer. but we'll get into that later. I'm kidding. How did we get onto the idea? Okay, we're talking about you and the and what your fear of what people say behind your back.
Yeah, whatever, man. It's a thing that I work on. I work on not giving a shit, but it's hard not to sometimes, you know.
Yeah, but you know, don't you like everybody talks about everybody all the time.
Yeah, I guess so.
I don't even necessarily think it's like puerile or bad. sometimes. I don't mean like, did you know, oh my God, did you hear that, this, that, and the other? Like, if reverse the roles, say that I had, you know, gone out and whatever happened, I, you know, got myself in a pickle, and you were talking about it to Billy or whomever, you'd be like, oh man, Rich really got himself in a pickle. Like, I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing. You're like, oh, what a goofball. He shouldn't have done X, Y, or Z. Or why in God's name would he be doing A, B, and C? Like, to me, that's not necessarily a bad thing. That's just, like, human nature to comment on events that are in your circle.
Yeah.
I think it's because you're self-conscious about what the event is. So,
well, yeah, there's a certain amount of shame in it for sure, and I'm self-conscious about it, yes, and I feel bad about it for sure. But it's like that's what you want friends for, to be like a safe place.
But that is safe. Part of friendship is being honest about stuff. Like if I went out and got a DUI, if I did something dumb and like got a DUI, you'd be like, dude,
that would be out of character for you. So I would be like, I don't think I would talk disparagingly about
I don't mean talking disparagingly. You'd be like, dude, what's going on? And if you ran into Billy, you're like, Rich got a DUI? You're like, yeah, man, it's really weird. Whatever your opinion of it is, talking about it outside of the just you and me isn't a negative thing. I mean, I guess my point is everything that people say when you're not around is not everything that people say when you're not around is necessarily a negative.
Uh-huh.
Even if they're commenting on the event as it happened, that's not a negative.
Yeah, so, I guess I just would rather. I mean, yes, I've been in situations before where, you know, people are concerned about you or whatever, and they'll talk behind your back, and then things get woven into non-truths. I mean, that's when rumors start and people start saying things that aren't true, and I'd rather have them just talk to me about it.
Like what rumor?
Whatever it is. Like this story, which I haven't told no one really knows.
So far, nobody knows the story.
Hank and Paul.
The story has not been told.
Yeah, but like, I don't know. It's just, I'd rather, if there's concerns or honest concerns about me or whatever, I'd rather a friend go, hey, man, you doing okay?
Right, but that's fine. But don't you think sometimes that dudes would go, well, that's interesting behavior. That seems out of character. Oh, huh. Dude's got a lot of spinning plates. Maybe I'll reach out. And they reach out based on a conversation they have outside of the presence of the person. Happens all the time. Like, you have siblings.
Yeah.
I'm sure you know, if one of your siblings is down, you might talk to the other sibling like, blah, 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 seems, you know, out of sorts or whatever, you know.
Sure. Yeah.
That's not uncommon. My point is, I think sometimes you think everything is
going,
a negative. I think you think that anything that's being talked about in your absence is a negative. And I don't think that's always the case. And I think it's largely not the case, especially at our age. I mean, that might be a college thing or youthful thing, you know, but I don't think at, you know, 50, healthily into our 50s, I don't think people are going like, oh my God, Dave's wearing shorts that stop above the knee.
Right. But I mean, that's, yeah. Yeah. It's a tricky one because it's like, yeah, I'm talking like the thing that gets talked about you behind your back are things like you being flaky or you over committing to things, right?
Right.
Rich had to cancel. That guy.
Right.
Always canceling. That kind of thing, right?
Right.
That's not something we'd reach out and go, Rich, you all right? You canceled again. You were late for the Zoom today. Is everything okay at home?
Yeah.
But my shit's always pretty heavy fucking shit. And because part of the problem is, as I'm on a podcast talking about it, I'm an open fucking book. I will tell anybody anything,
right,
to my detriment. And so like it opens up for all sorts of shit when you're this open, right? And so that's when I go, I'm not going to tell anybody this time. I'm not going to tell anybody. I'm not going to talk about it.
But when you tell people, so if you're, Let's go with the open book part of this. If you're an open book, is it bad that when people comment on it?
Behind my back? I mean,
you say behind your back, and that certainly has a negative connotation. There's also when you're not around, like meaning like there are conversations people have when other people aren't in the room. I don't necessarily think that's always talking behind one's back in the negative connotation.
Yeah, I guess it just depends on the conversation. I don't know. It just it's hard to. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you're right. Look, at the end of the day, it's just I have trust issues, and so it makes me not trust certain people because you're worried about opening your heart to them because you don't know what they're going to do with that information. And you want people around you that are going to be like, hey, man, are you okay?
Yeah, but the people you're talking about are people that, like, you have long-standing friendships. Your friend group is, like, people you've known for decades. You trust all those dudes.
I think so, yeah.
But if you don't trust those dudes, doesn't that say more about you than the dudes?
No, I do. I trust them. Yeah. I trust them. And then some days I don't trust anybody. But yes, I do.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. I think we all have our ups and downs that really have very little to do with
anybody
them.
But my own self. Yeah. No, yeah. I know. It's just, it's hard. It's hard when you're an open book and so many people know you so well. They know all your secrets. It's hard to walk in a room and just kind of try to be cool. You know, does that make sense?
I guess, but again, like,
if I've built a career on being vocal about all my fuck ups, and we've written about it,
right,
and we made jokes
like,
about
almost
it,
like, you know, using it as your comedy secret weapon, sort of,
right? Yeah, right. You know, if you're like John Mulaney and he has a stand up special where he talks all about going into rehab, you know what I mean?
Right.
And it's like him walking into a room having a glass of water and people going, what if that's vodka? You know, or whatever.
Right.
Because he's been open about his addiction problems or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Be like that kind of thing. It makes you feel vulnerable. So I feel vulnerable, and I feel extra vulnerable right now, I guess, when something like this happens, you know?
Right. Right. Okay, well, I don't know what happened. The other thing is, so, like, there's one small X factor here is I don't actually know what we're talking, the specific thing that we're talking about.
Right. It's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. It is the after effect is, it's the aftershocks have been pretty massive. But so I went out, so.
Because this is the story. You're going to tell me the story.
This is the story, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Here we go.
Yeah. So earlier in the week last week, I put my back out lifting the baby up.
Oh, really? You threw your back out?
Yeah.
So were you bedridden?
No, but I was hurting really bad.
Really?
Yeah. And
did you pick up the baby from a funny angle? Like, what? How did
that? Yeah, it was like she was on the changing table. So you kind of, like, no way to do it but to lean over and pick up the weight, you know, and she's like 12 pounds now. So it's like 12-pound weight. And, you know, at our age, sometimes I look to the left and I throw my back out. You know, that's just the kind of back that I have.
Yeah.
You know, I throw my back out once every couple of years. But fortunately, this wasn't as bad as it's been in the past.
Right.
My friend Josh got me for Christmas one of those things that, like, shocks your, sends electrodes into your, like, muscle. And it's supposed to, have you ever had one of those?
Like, I've had the chiropractor, like, at a physio where they lay you down and put the,
And it goes like this, and it feels kind of, like, funny. Yeah. Yeah, it's that thing. It's a portable that thing from home. And it worked. It worked so well last week for me. So I highly recommend one of those things. It's called something, and I'll get the name for you later.
We recommend that thing that we can't name.
Right. So a week before that, my dad died. My dad died 2 weeks ago, and that did a real number on me.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
Yeah, it happened kind of suddenly, and you know, I have been open about, you know, my feelings about my relationship with my dad. I think pretty much in my songwriting, just it's all in there. But I had an estranged relationship with him. I hadn't seen him since 2011, maybe, and you know, there've been some email exchanges back and forth, but that's about it. And but some other people in my family were, you know, well, his brother, my uncle, who I'm close with, was with him, and sort of funneling all the information to my mom and me and my siblings. Anyway, that happened, and there wasn't a funeral. So I never kind of got closure on it. So I'm still kind of sorting through what that whole thing means. And
when you say there wasn't a funeral, you mean there was no sort of organized gathering?
Apparently they couldn't afford a funeral, and so yeah, they just cremated him.
Hmm.
And that was it. There was no and apparently his wife didn't want one, and she couldn't handle it or something. So. They didn't have a funeral, so there's nothing to go back to. It just kind of ended. And it's weird when you've been propelled by this story obsessed about it since I was 12, you know, about this whole situation with this person, and right. now he's gone. It's a weird one.
Yeah, that's your dad, a lot.
And yeah, it's a lot. So dealing with that, and when I deal with shit like that, I deal with it heavy. It's heavy. So, but there's no time to deal with it because I got a baby and everything else that's going on. So here I am, put my back out, lifting the baby. And consequently, at the same time, and not related, Paul is in town shooting, working on a Netflix show.
Friend of the podcast, Paul.
Paul Fitzgerald.
Paul Fitzgerald.
And Paul was on the podcast a few weeks ago because he's in town. And so he's not going to be in town for very much longer. So he and friend of the podcast, Hank, and myself had plans to go out on Friday night when we had a babysitter coming over, and what is called a night nurse, coming over to the house to work the night shift with Ruth and me. So it was okay for me to go, and it was in the neighborhood. We were walking,
right,
and we were going to do something that Hank and I do once every couple months, which is like a bar hopping.
Is it once a month? How often is this bar hopping? Because I know it's a regular occurrence.
Yeah, lately it's been...
What, every 2 weeks?
No. It was like we did one in November, we did one in December. We didn't do it in January because we were dry January. I can't remember if we did it in February, and we're doing it now. So it's, well, you know, once every few months. That's all we can, that's all our livers can handle, once every few months.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah. So this is really like, you guys really crank it up for this thing.
Well, it's what the old Romans would call a bar crawl. You know,
I'm not sure okay, yeah, sure.
From the Latin, baris crawlis.
I was gonna say, quid numinatur hic dies, Robbie. That's all I got to say. All right.
What does that mean?
What is today's date? So our Latin teacher would walk in every day in class and go, "Salve discipuli, salvete magister, quid numinatur hic dies." And then we'd tell them the date in Latin.
Why did you take Latin?
It was mandatory. Mandatory.
Wow. That's weird boy school, Nashville boy school shit right there.
Tinnitus, semper tinnitus.
And you know what it means to graduate magnum cum laude.
I do. I used to know this. Duo cordis putat unum, something like that. I had to translate a song into Latin as an assignment, and I translated Two Hearts Beat as One by U2.
Oh,
duo
nice.
Cordis putat unum.
That's great. That's awesome.
But I might be saying heart wrong in Latin.
When you've had that pause thinking of what the word is, I was going to say I'm going to punch in some Latin crickets. Cricketum. Cricketum.
Cricketum. Tweets. Tweet us.
Bar crawl. No, it wasn't. We never have the intention, and this is where lunacy comes into this whole thing.
Yeah, okay.
That we never have the intention of getting drunk. That's not the intention. The intention is having a great time, laughing, going bar to restaurant.
It involves drinking. And listen, I'm no.
Right.
I do not sit in judgment of that at all. But I'm just
eating
curious.
And drinking.
That's really what it there's a drinking component to this that's kind of essential because it's bar.
Yes.
It's duo corda. Sorry, just for the kids at home wanting to know. Duo corda putat unum.
Two hearts?
Yeah.
Beat is one. From the U2 album War, I believe, their third album.
Correct.
Studio album. Our intention is just to have fun, be together, you know, not make the wives mad.
Have a couple pops,
and just two pops, just rolling along Sunset Boulevard, and we just kind of go until we can't drink or eat anymore, and then we wander home. And yeah, and there have been varying degrees of how these go, but normally it's okay. We wind up, you know, stumbling home a little bit, but we're happy and we're safe and it's all good. In December, I believe that Hank wanted to See, we end up walking from our houses to way far away, and Hank wanted a scooter home.
Okay.
And I took a spill on a scooter on the way home, but I wasn't injured. It was just kind of funny.
When was that?
That was back in December.
Okay, so this is not this. Okay, got it.
But let me know that I'm shaky on a scooter. I'm shaky on a bike. I'm shaky.
I will also go on record as saying I think those scooters are a death trap anyway, but you know me.
Yes.
I'm Johnny Cautious.
And an R, right. And you know me, I'm Johnny. What, me cautious? You know, our streets too are like just pothole. I mean,
yeah, they
the
were paved in the late
mess.
80s. And
it's all a mess. So, this time, Paul joins us, and we have a magnificent evening. I mean, this is the real tragedy.
One for the books, yeah.
It's just a great time, and great because we're laughing, we're just best buddies, and we're laughing and sharing memories and just having a great time. And as someone who's been through this weird kind of thing with my dad dying and, you know, been in it with the baby and put my back out, it was a nice release of like, you know.
Right.
It's nice to laugh.
Yeah.
And then nothing crazy happened. We ate. We drank. Hank didn't end up getting as drunk as me and Paul because he just wasn't feeling it. There are nights where Hank drinks so much he, you know, throws up. But not this time.
Wow.
Hank was being wise, switching to water, which is what I should have done. But anyway, at the end of the night, when it came time for us to go, okay, it's time to get back home, I didn't feel crazy. I just was tipsy, very, very drunk. I was drunk.
Okay.
But I didn't feel.
So honesty matters. So you were drunk.
I didn't black out.
Let me ask you this. Would you have operated a motor vehicle?
Fuck no.
Okay. So you were past the legal limit.
For sure.
Okay.
And, but I was conscious. I knew I could tell you the whole story of where we were at in that moment.
So have you blacked out previously?
In my life?
Yeah.
Well, when they talk blackout means there are chunks of the evening you don't remember.
Yeah.
Yes. That happens to me every once in a while.
Frequently? Is that like, has that happened recently? How about that? Has it happened in this calendar year?
No. No, I haven't been drinking as much lately, and I certainly don't get drunk as much lately, I feel. I don't think that's happened. Sometimes I have to be like, wait, where do we go after the, right. After these evenings,
right.
I'll be like, Hank, where do you go after that? You know me, I don't have a good memory about that kind of thing.
Right.
But I don't black out, no. Blacking out is not a frequent thing, and I don't even drink that much anymore, you know? When I had to go to the emergency room the next day, the doctor said, "Were you drinking?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "How often do you drink?" I was like, "Maybe two nights a week." I mean, that's the truth. The next day when I had to go to the emergency room.
Next day after what?
The story I'm telling you.
Okay, you leapt forward to what happened that sent you to the last thing you said is like we went drinking in November and had a shaky experience on a scooter. What happened?
Right.
Then cut to
last Friday. We went out, had a great time. I told you, magnificent time.
Yeah, lovely got that time. Part.
At the end of the night, I'm drunk, but I'm not
you went
blackout.
From, we had a great time, and then the doctor at the hospital the next day asked
sorry,
me.
Okay.
I'm like, wait a minute.
I was saying we had a great time, but I wasn't blackout drunk.
Okay, good.
And I don't even drink as much as I used to do. I made a concerted effort to sort of pull back on the drink so that these things don't happen.
Right.
Anyway, so then the guys, Paul, by the way, part of the problem too is I go drink for drink with Paul Fitzgerald, and he's a Southerner. He can just drink, and
right.
he just gets more Southern. And it just for some reason he's just got a what do they say a wooden leg, a hollow leg.
Yeah, yeah,
he's got a hollow leg.
Like, I don't think the wooden leg really helps, but yeah, hollow leg. Yeah,
well, it's a hollow wooden leg, but yeah, he just he can just go and just kind of get sloppy, but still somehow just surf right into bed.
Right.
But we were a couple miles from home. They said, hey, let's hop on these scooters and city bikes. And I was like, no, man, let's not.
So you were the voice of reason at this moment, right? Right now, when that happened, you're like, nope,
yes.
Cooler heads prevail. I'm Rob Benedict. I say no.
Ask Hank. I said, let's Uber. And they
said, nay, fi.
No, come on. We'll do this.
We shan't.
Okay. So I got on a city bike.
No, they got, what did they all, so three city bikes.
Paul was on a scooter.
Okay.
And then Hank wound up being on a scooter as well. But I got on a bike because I thought that was safer.
Okay.
Than those like
shaky
scooters.
I can see why that would be safer.
Right.
Yeah.
Two wheels, two big wheels, right? But I happened to get on a scooter that was a bike that was a motorized bike.
Okay. So well, great. Less effort, home faster. Right.
Exactly. I thought if we've got any hills, this will help me.
Right.
But the whole first mile of the trip was downhill. So, and I don't think I put it together that as I pedaled, that's where the motor would go.
So you were just flying.
I was kind of flying, yeah.
Oh, man.
Going downhill.
At night, on a sidewalk, probably assembled in the 80s.
Total that where the trees have made the sidewalk all
yeah
like,
the roots have done that number, and then you had a couple of glasses of punch.
Exactly, I'd had some glasses of punch, and about a quarter of the mile in, they were ahead of me. That's me thinking I'm going slow. They were two blocks ahead of me, and I crossed over a street, and onto where you go onto the street, then you go back up onto the sidewalk. And I went back up onto the sidewalk. But when I did, I kind of like wobbled, and there was a section of sort of grass and then the sidewalk. And I was trying to get to the sidewalk, but I wound up getting on the grass. And I'm pedaling the whole time. So it was like, blah, 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 blah. And it rained. So I'm like, I was slippery. Then when I went over to the curb, the lip of the curb just caught the wheel and the bike was like, nah. And my body was like, whoa. So I just sort of like in the corner of the sidewalk, and my body went flying.
Corner of the sidewalk. So did you go sideways or over the handlebars or what happened?
I sort of went over the handlebars and to the right.
And hit?
And the sidewalk.
Okay, you went and hit the ground. All right.
Yeah, with my face, and somehow my hand got fucked up, my right hand. It's bruised here on the inside, which
like
is
you
strange.
Stopped yourself, like you
maybe,
yeah,
but maybe my fingers went all the way back or something.
Ooh,
and I knew I was hurt bad. I was bleeding from the face. And
how are the glasses? The glasses hold up?
Glasses broke.
Okay, that's always dramatic.
Glasses broke. That's why I'm wearing these glasses. Glasses broke, and I'm going. Like it was bad. And I pick up the bike, and this hand, the right hand, is not working. So the bike, I started to try to get on the bike again, and I fell again.
Oh, because and where are the boys?
Hand. Not there, because they're two blocks ahead of me, just going.
Oh man!
And then I found a napkin, and I realized I had it. Hank was like, "Where'd you get that napkin?" And I realized I had ordered something to eat at the previous bar. Again, thinking I was being so smart, I was like, I'm gonna want some more food in my belly.
Right.
So I eat some, like some cauliflower crisps or something, and I have a napkin in my pocket. So I have the napkin on my face. And I'm just after the bike fell the second time, I just sat down, and I just waited. And a couple blocks ahead, they were like, "Wait, where's Bobby?" And they turned around and they came back and they found me. And Hank says, He was honest with me the next day. He was like, "Just so you know, Bobby, I did turn around and have a good laugh."
Yeah, well, but, honesty is important amongst friends.
Paul said, I didn't laugh, Bobby.
The laugh was because he saw you in a heap on the concrete?
Yeah, I was just like, Jesus, then they, we got an Uber. They returned my bike for me. And
now, when you use the bike, you have to get a credit card and or an app or something.
Yeah,
like
I did all that before.
So the question is,
so I was lucid enough to do all of that.
I wasn't saying you stole the bike. I was saying, was the bike damaged? Now do you owe bike money? Like, are they going to charge your credit card for?
No, that thing is it's not. It's hard to break.
Okay, good.
It's big. It's big and heavy.
That'd be a nice little
heavy
surprise.
No. In fact, I got the receipt was for one. My receipt was for $1 because that's all the distance I went.
That's funny.
I didn't go very far. So, yeah. So, but it's a heavy piece of junk. And, but they returned it for me. And So yeah, no, I mean, I was, that's the thing is I was, you've seen me much more drunk than I was this night.
Okay.
We were all bummed because it was like, we had such a great night and, you know, and it doesn't look good on paper. It doesn't look good for a guy like me with a record like mine. It doesn't look good. So we got into an Uber. I go home. I had planned to sleep in Calvin's bed anyway so that he didn't wake up Ruth when I got home.
Right. Is the baby, say, in your master bedroom with you and Ruth?
No, the baby's in the baby's room.
Oh, okay.
With the night nurse.
Oh, right. A whole different person. Right. Right. Got it.
There's an extra body there to help with the baby. So Ruth is sleeping. I don't want to wake her up. So I get a bag of ice. I put it on my face and I go to sleep.
Did the night nurse have a comment about this? Was she up?
No,
walking
I didn't
around?
See her. I didn't see her. No. She's out. I was quiet. You've seen me much more drunk than I was this night. I was more at this point. I was scared. And
what were you scared of?
That I'd really fucked myself up. I thought for sure I broke my hand. And I thought I got to go to the hospital at some point.
You thought for sure you'd broken your hand. Had it swollen up and turned purple, or what was going on with it?
It just didn't work. It just didn't work. I couldn't. Like, it was just sort of limp and shaking against my chest.
So you couldn't do this, like make a fist?
No. And even still, like, I couldn't lift up my coffee with my right hand this morning.
Wow.
The next morning.
Now, is something going on in your brain at this point, like, whatever I do, keep this from Ruth?
No, never.
Okay.
No, I gotta fess up for it. I gotta just fucking, you know.
Right.
No, it's just more like shit. This looks a lot worse than it should. You know, this could have been avoided.
Right.
What an idiot. Oh, this again. I'm a fuck up. All that stuff.
Right.
I woke up the next morning, go up to Ruth. She was in shock seeing my face. It did not look good.
Right.
I was still bleeding. I had blood that had caked in my beard.
Oh, so you hadn't cleaned all that up yet?
No. No, I just kind of laid down and, you know, went to sleep. So we went to the emergency room. She took me.
And you needed that because you were worried about your hand, right?
Yeah, and she took one look at me and she's like, oh, we're going to the emergency room. Like, it was just bad, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Bad. It didn't look good.
Right now, you don't look so bad.
No. My face, I mean, it's a lot better. You can see I have a black eye.
Yeah, it's weirdly, your glasses cover that cut perfectly,
yeah,
so you don't see
up.
The cut. Yeah. You look like a little bar fight look you got going here.
Yeah, my face had really swollen out. My hands were super swollen. It didn't look good.
Did you snap a couple of photos of that? Is that something you're going to share?
Not. To the public, but I
all right, you'll show me later then.
We go to the emergency room, they did an initial thing where the doc asked all these questions, the whole and I told Ruth, I was like, zip it in the emergency room, let me do the talking.
You mean like get after the free pour incident?
Yeah, exactly.
Free pour gate.
Exactly.
Doctor, the free pour.
It's the free pour.
If you don't know the free pour story, go back in our podcast. You can find it. By the way, free pour story also involves Hank and Paul, just for the record.
yes. Right. So, doctor asked all these questions. So told the truth about everything, you know. He was like, do you drink or do drugs? I was like, yeah. And he was like, how often do you drink? I said, like, maybe twice a week, maybe. But I was just, I had a night out with the guys last night, and I rode a city bike and I shouldn't have. And he was like, how long you been drinking? I was like, my whole life. Like, I don't know, for some reason that struck me as a weird question.
Yeah, a little bit, a little proddy.
Well, I was just like, what are you? And then he's like, what's your medical history? I was like, in a nutshell, like, what are we? How much time you got?
Yeah, no kidding. Given a link to the podcast.
I had a stroke. I mean, I guess we could start there. I had a stroke, you know. So he had lots of questions about that. Anyway, he ordered a CAT scan for my face because he didn't know if I broke my like my orbital bone.
Your orbital bone, yeah.
But more importantly, a X-ray for my hand, because I was for sure I'd have broke my hand.
Did he think you had a broken hand at the time? Was he like, oh, that looks broken?
He did the test where he's like, grab my hand. Does this hurt? And he said his assessment when he was like, I bet it's not broken. I bet it's a sprain. And he was right. It was just because
you were able to move it a little bit and things like that.
Yeah, yeah. It's just a really bad sprain, which is good, and it's getting better. It's getting better. It's just slow going. So it was just a sprain. They wrapped it up just to help with the swelling and movement.
Good news is you're left-handed, and that's your right hand.
And I'm so left-handed, yeah, yeah. Not so bad. But it doesn't amaze me how many things I do with my right. You go, oh, man. And that would have been a drag if it were broken. I would have been a drag. So it's not broken. That's good news. And they did a CAT scan, and I told this to Rich, but they still see that I had a stroke that's still in there, which is crazy to me.
You did say that. Isn't that – I don't know anything about, obviously – the healing process from a stroke. Is that surprising it's still there? Or is that sort of
no,
like
I guess
a scar?
I assumed, you know? If you'd ask me out of that, no, I think I'd say, no, I think that there's still going to be a black spot on my brain where the stroke was.
Right.
But just to get confirmation of that, because I haven't had a CAT scan since we were in Toronto in 2013, since I had the stroke.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I've had MRIs, but even then I had an MRI of my brain like 2 months after I got home from the stroke. And then since then, I haven't been up there.
Right.
So it was just interesting to know that 11 years later, there's still, you know, there's still a high.
Still there.
You know, still there. Still a fossil of my stroke is still up there.
That's a trip.
It is a trip because it's literally my brain. You know, I've talked about this before, but just to get confirmation of the fact that, like, when you have a stroke like that and you lose blood supply to your part of your brain, that part that's. That died is still dead. And your brain learns to remap itself around that to still do the things you need to do, like speak, which is what it affected me. It's affected speech. But
which is so fascinating. That
fucking crazy.
It rewires itself.
Yeah.
So unbelievable.
And yet still, I'm drinking my face off and crashing on bikes. But so there I am in the hospital, and I sent Ruth home to be with the baby, and I stayed there, and eventually the guy came up and he said, hey, good news, man. Very good news. Your brain is fine. Your face is, you just have a hematoma, which is like a bruise, and your sprained hand. So I got out of it with no broken bones, but a severe, severe damage to my spirit, I would say. And then the next thing to deal with was Ruth. And Paul and Hank, after texting her that morning and not hearing back, they went and got flowers and chocolate. I told them she really likes chocolate. And they came over and brought her the gifts of attrition.
Now, why did they... They felt bad?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because they, you know, we didn't go out like, hey, let's fuck some shit up, new dad.
Right.
It's more like let's go have fun and laugh and that's what it was. It's just unfortunately it ended in this, and you know, so they came over with chocolates and flowers for Ruth, and we hung out for a little bit and tried to make peace of it all. And that's it.
Made people like, so how you said, and then there's Ruth. So let's dive into that. What was her response to everything?
She was not thrilled. You know, like I said, it doesn't look good on my record. It's not a good look, and it doesn't look good.
No.
But she was concerned, mostly concerned with me, just concerned. And she said, it's hard, you know, your face. I hate seeing you beat up like this, you know. What are you going to do about it?
That's what she said?
Yeah, what are you going to do? What are you going to do?
Well, what was your answer?
Maybe take some time off from drinking. But more than anything, I need to just need to get my head straight a little bit, you know?
Right. Well, you got a lot going on. I mean, the I feel like these are two separate things. Obviously, the loss of your dad is massive. That's just a huge thing to process. Sober, not sober, whatever. That's just a lot. Yeah.
And it's, you know, anyway. Any excuse I make, I sound like an alcoholic, you know, which I don't think that I am, but I definitely, here's my problem. My problem with alcohol, when I go out on a night like this and it happens more often than it should, let's say once a year, something like this, it's just that I'm having fun and I feel a little invincible. Alcohol make you feel that way. And then you see the line and then you just like, just kind of breeze past the line, you know?
So let me ask you this. You talked about...
I shouldn't have been on the bike. I should have said no to the bike. I'm not riding the bike.
Yeah. Do you feel like when the guy... Well, people make bad decisions. That's why, you know, people do dumb things like drive when they're drinking. Like, people make bad decisions under the influence.
Yeah.
Just kind of a classic...
Right.
A classic truth. What is... When he asked you about the drugs and alcohol, the doctor, had you smoked weed that same night?
Yeah.
Well, that also could be part of... I mean, that could compound things tremendously.
Sure. No, that
Sir,
is
what?
Drug.
Now, were Paul and Hank also... Unless you're not allowed to divulge, were they also...
I mean, yes. Yeah, we're all in the same boat.
Right.
Yeah, good times. Great times. Great times until that.
Great times. Yeah. I just say, like, maybe it's also the combo ain't helpful.
Combo not helpful.
Yeah.
Combo not helpful.
Because weirdly, like, I think I could say this pretty factually. I think you drink less than I do.
I do, yeah.
But I don't, but I don't,
you don't
ever have those
weed,
nights.
Like, right, you never have those nights. Exactly. You stay.
I think I drink more consistently than you do, but I know a stopping point, and I always stick to it.
Yes. And you, and I think because you drink more consistently, maybe you handle it better.
Well, I think I like no blue ribbon for my consumption. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not. There's nobody out there going like, well.
Yeah.
Doctor's orders, do what Rich does, said no one ever. But I feel like for just luck of the draw, I process booze well. Something Jason's always commented on since she started dating me. She's like, what? Because like you said about Paul, I just, you know.
Ruth does too, by the way. Like, she doesn't drink that much at all anymore. Ruth always has me open a bottle of wine, I'll pour a glass, and she doesn't drink it. She just likes the idea. It's like tea for English people, too.
Right.
They're like, oh, make us a cup of tea, and you'll make it, and they don't really drink it. It's just the idea of getting it. But she's when she has, I've never seen her slurry. I've never seen you slurry.
No.
So you get a look in your eye where you get a little randy, but like, you get it, you know, you kind of have that anyway. I've never seen you like, you know?
No, I think, and JC made the same comment. She's like, I've never really seen you
wasted,
and which one time I'm like, oh, don't you remember that time? She's like, you were wasted then. I'm like, yeah. She's like, oh, it didn't translate.
Yeah, or when we're out at conventions, sometimes you wake up on a Sunday, you're like, oh man, I'm hungover. I'm like, you were drunk last night.
Yeah, I know.
But I don't think I bottle for bottle, I don't think I drink as much as you, and that's maybe part of the problem is that when I do.
Well,
I'm
when
like,
you
yeah.
when you here's the thing, I think that you and I've had plenty of times where we've in the not in more recent years,
early days, yeah.
We'd go toe to toe.
Yeah.
But I always feel like it hit you harder, like even going toe to toe, and it's not our size is not big enough difference for that to be it. You know what I mean?
Nope. Just brain chemistry.
Yeah, just
and,
chemistry.
And, you know, I am on, you know, I do take medication every day, and that's not nothing.
Right.
One of the side effects of the medication that I take is that it accentuates your drunkenness.
Have you always been on that, like, since I've known you?
Since you've known me, yeah.
Wow, okay. So, yeah, that could be part of the story,
since
too.
Since 2005. My friend Scott says that after my stroke, it got worse. Like, I never slurred and did stuff like that. Like,
Speedy?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this. Remember when you passed out or almost passed out at Comic-Con?
Yeah.
Was that before or after? That was before the stroke, right?
Before the stroke, yeah, that we were just super hungover.
And then when you left the same time when you left the party, that famous story where you like had a meltdown and then didn't know where you were.
Yeah.
That was before.
Was it?
I'm pretty sure, but I'm asking you. I feel like
it's hard because there were the early days of Comic-Con where we weren't doing Supernatural. We were just doing that thing for JC.
Right.
So I don't remember. I don't remember, but let's say it was before. So yeah, so it was still there. It was still there. But yeah, I just have to be careful. I have to be careful, man. Careful, more cautious, because it does affect me.
Yeah.
You know, it's like we used to smoke cigarettes back in the day, but pre-stroke, for fun, and go, well, I'm not addicted. It's just, that's fun. You know what I mean? And then it makes you feel worse. It makes you feel kind of sick. It makes me feel worse. It makes me feel kind of sick. And
yeah.
And you kind of want to do it again. And that's the addiction part of it.
Yeah.
But that was easy to stop. You go, oh, after I had my stroke, I was like, well, I'm not going to give the stroke another chance. So, but I just need to be reasonable, man. I just need to be reasonable. I just need to be reasonable. And because of the things we mentioned, I think I just lost. But it's happened before, and that's the problem. That's why I keep saying it doesn't look good in my record. It's just, you know.
Right.
So I think lessons were learned, and I don't know where I'll wind up, but I'm, doing some soul searching, and I'm trying.
What is the lesson?
Work in progress. The immediate takeaway is that consider biking and scootering on the same level as driving. Don't.
Yeah.
If you've been drinking, don't get on any kind of thing with wheels.
You know, you joke, but, you know, you could have swerved into the road and gotten killed. Like, you know.
I'm not joking. Like, yeah, that's for certain. Don't
I think
that.
All those, I mean, I see kids zipping around on those scooters, and I know I sound like I'm 100, but I'm like, they don't use helmets. They fly around on those things, on those roads that are not even around cars, like suddenly, hey, the city's put these out here, so they must be safe. And off they go like dimwits. And I just think they're a terrible idea.
Yeah, no, I mean, they can be, I think, good, helpful for some people. But yeah, people don't know.
I think if you're in Manhattan and you're going four blocks, somehow they seem to like be a good idea.
Well, I think the city bikes are a great idea. But again,
not if they're not wearing helmets. Not if people are not using bike safety rules with the bike.
That's true.
That's the problem.
A helmet would have helped me.
You know, you could get them out of the block with an app and make them suddenly safe.
Right. So that is a takeaway. I think another one is if you have a night like this where you know you're going to be drinking, alternate water with every drink.
Right.
That way you don't drink as much and you're hydrating.
Right.
And I know that and I never do it.
Right.
And it gets to the point too, if you're drinking a lot, like after drink two, like your body hardly knows what you're drinking. You know what I mean? Like if you're drinking beer after beer, it's like somebody just switched to water. It's the same motion. You're just, you know what I mean?
Right.
But because I have a new baby at home, because I'm going through a lot, I need to take care of myself.
Right.
And that's making choices that don't include, going on a bender.
Yeah. It's the bender factor. I think maybe that's also a big part of it, probably.
Yeah. So. Haven't had a drink since.
That's good. That's good. Yeah. Have you smoked weed since?
Rich, that.
I don't know like what your habits are, because back when on the day when you and I started out hanging out early on,
you weren't a weed guy so much. No, like I smoked every one. You know, I used to smoke. I've always enjoyed weed, but I never smoked. No, I never smoked as much as I do now. Over COVID, it upped a bit.
Right, and COVID, so weed has sort of replaced some of your, like if you used to be a drink a day guy, now you got rid of that and replaced it with the weed.
Right. But I was never a drink a day guy. But yes. I have replaced things with weed.
Right.
But I You know, and that's also more weed when I'm not working.
Sure.
There's more weed when I'm not working.
When you're not employed on something.
Right, exactly, when I'm not employed. But yeah, but that I, if I'm, you know, yeah. Yeah, I'm looking at all of it. And work in progress.
Yeah.
And hopefully I'll be able to say at some point, I've changed, now you change.
Like Steve. I'll go back to Steve.
We got to get Steve on the podcast. Anyway, thank you everyone for listening to my confessional.
Yeah, so that was the story, by the way, that I'm now hearing for the first time. We're all hearing it for the first time, and that you didn't want me talking to Billy about, but Billy didn't know this story.
I know, dude. I know you understand what I'm saying. You're making it like sound like you don't. You know, I think people speak
ill of you in a way that is not like you had to cancel the show, the Blake show.
Yeah.
And so you communicated to Billy because Billy was part of that show. And out of respect, you're like, oh, I got to let Billy know.
Yeah, we talked about playing a song together.
Right. So you let him know.
Yeah.
And you say I had a bike accident. That doesn't really lead to a lot of negative.
No, I know. But you had the information, so you were going to go into that going like,
you didn't even give me the full information. You didn't tell me the full story.
Yeah, I know. But you knew I was drunk and fell off a bike.
Yeah.
Look, the thing is, it's not your problem. It's my problem. You can do what you want. I just felt vulnerable and unsafe.
Billy and
that's
I did not I cast aspersions your direction. And you know,
I appreciate that. I appreciate it.
That was not the point of the gathering. A lot of times we get together to cast aspersions.
I know, but it was not one of those gatherings. I know.
Look, I'm glad you're not hurt. A sprain will heal. Scar will go away, and Ruth will forget. No, never mind. Forget the Ruth part, but the face will heal, and the hand will heal.
Ruth loves me. That's the important part. Hey, I said Saturday morning when we woke up, I had a pillow over my face, and I was like, so I got good news and bad news. The good news is my back is feeling a lot better today, and then the bad news is, and I took the pillow off.
Oh, man.
Oh, Rob.
Man, she's going to give you the furry eyeball next time you say you're going out with Paul and Hank.
I know. That's the bummer.
That's two events.
That's the bummer.
Hashtag Freeport, hashtag e-bike.
Oh, yeah. The
Freeport, it went from e-bike to e-bike.
E-bike.
Yeah, man. So I would think that I'm sitting pretty in this scenario. Like,
oh, yeah, you got to feel good.
Hey, I'm going to go have a beer with the guys. Who guys? Rich. Okay. Not Hank and Paul. Mm-mm.
Yeah.
The bad seeds.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I'd like to think that my behavior on Friday got me uninvited to this dinner on Thursday that you and Hank are going to go do.
No, you were never invited. But the thing is, mercy. Oh, good times.
Yeah.
Did you just to circle back to other parts of life before we sign off? Eclipse.
Eclipse.
I know we talked a little bit on Monday Morning Mapa, but we haven't talked about it here. Did you? Yeah.
I did. I looked at the eclipse. Ruth got eclipse glasses for all of us, I saw it and was fascinated by it. Was watching the news footage of it as well. Misha Collins took a special trip down to Texas to see. So that he could be in the path of totality. We're not in the path of totality, so that's a bummer. We didn't get to experience the full eclipse.
Right.
But it was pretty freaking cool. And I'm also working on a new action script called Path of Totality that
I'm going to say, it sounds like a prog rock band to me.
I know. Path of Totality. Musicians.
It sounds like a thinking man's band.
It's Prog Rock Fest 2024. We've got Path of Totality.
Well, it's like Lucas Nelson and the promise of the reel. Like, it's no different than that.
What did you think? I know Hank came by.
Well, as you know, we weren't. Yeah, that's why Hank came up, was to share his glasses and so I could look at it. I thought it was really cool. I mean, obviously, we're in, as you say, not in the path of totality. But what we could see kind of like looked like it skirted around the bottom, you know, the
yeah,
shadow kind of skirted around the bottom.
Skirted around the bottom, yeah.
It was great.
It was, and I love anything that kind of brings the world together a bit. And like seeing this, I was watching this thing sponsored by, I want to say it was sponsored by USA Today. Because I just clicked a link. Anyway, they had four screens, and they were talking to astronauts in space. They were talking to their people at Mazatlan, Mexico.
Yeah.
People in Texas, people in Oklahoma, people in Indianapolis.
Yeah.
They're just kind of following that path of totality, and I thought people in Maine.
Yeah.
And I thought that was kind of cool.
Did you watch any of the final game last night? Purdue versus UConn?
Only the last part of the last half.
Well, Charles Barkley said something that made me laugh. He was like, because, of course, who do you know that I know that would make fun of two guys looking at the eclipse?
I know that you know. That we know that would make fun of this. Cliff?
Maybe, but not Cliff.
Some old curmudgeon? No.
That's sure. I mean, we'll go with that. Or my wife.
Oh, sure, JC. Yeah.
I mean, obviously.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
JC's
yeah.
like, hey, Hank's here. What do you guys do? We're looking at the eclipse. She's like, you guys are such
nerds.
Nerds. She goes, you're going to burn out your corneas with your crap glasses and your nerds. You're going to be blind nerds. Anyway, so she went off on her Vespa. She went to exercise class while Hank and I looked at the thing. But what made me laugh is Charles Barkley last night during halftime. Somehow it segued over. Oh, they did a graphic of Charles Barkley's head blocking out the sun, like as a the gag. And then Charles Barkley's like, "You guys aren't some of those losers who went outside to look at the eclipse." And like, is that losers? Like, yeah, they're losers. It got dark. It got undark. We've seen it before. Come on. He made me laugh because I was like, wow, I've never thought I'd say this, but Sir Charles and my wife have a lot in common.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
It does feel like, as much as they're like, this is the people are saying on this broadcast I was listening to, this is a once in a lifetime thing, but it does feel like we have eclipses a lot. I mean, Hank did that yesterday because you guys saw the last eclipse together, which was like last year, I mean.
Yeah, and that just happened to be, I drove by, shows how in touch I was. I drove by down Hank Street, and there's Hank in the middle of the street standing there looking with glasses. I'm like, what are you doing? Yeah. He's like, there's an eclipse.
There are like solar eclipses and lunar eclipses and
partial
eclipses and anyway.
Yeah, man, and then this eclipse, they said it'll happen again in 20 years, so...
Did they? I thought I heard something.
I thought it was 2044, they said. But then somebody said, no, it's 2094. I don't know.
Well, I said that, but that was...
it was you.
It's not that. Yeah. I think it was in the 2070s, though, what I heard.
Well, we'll...
Whatever.
Hopefully we'll live to see it again.
It was fun to do.
Yes, and we all saw it, and we're all proud. Well, good podcast. Informative.
Yeah.
I hope.
Yeah, I was thinking of naming it, like, a very special...
This and now.
Yeah.
Scott Baio as Rob Benedict.
Exactly.
ABC's after school special, Mommy, I Rode a Bike. With Ruth Connell as Mommy. I'm not sure how you didn't get cast as yourself again in this. You didn't get cast as yourself again in this scenario. Scott Baio took your role. Ruth is playing Ruth with Paul Fitzgerald as Paul.
Paul is playing Paul.
Hank Chilton as Hank.
You direct it.
Featuring Richard Spate as bartender.
Everyone gets paid. Yeah. Featuring Paul and Hank as the bad seeds.
Bad seeds.
But Scott Baio as Rob.
That should the title of this podcast should be dot 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 and Scott Baio as Rob Benedict.
That's it.
All right, listen, good chatting with you.
You too.
So I'm glad you're not permanently damaged.
Thank you.
This too shall pass.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you for listening. Appreciate the love and support. And we'll see you. We'll see you in Rome.
You're leaping forward to the love and support. Like, what if we get a bunch of angry letters after this podcast? We don't know.
And for the angry letters, I say, I've changed. Now you change.
I thought you were going to say. And to the angry letter writer, I say, JC, just come talk to me.
I was like, Billy, I'm Rich.
I'm right here.
I'm right here.
All right, everybody, be well, be good, be safe, be quiet, be Arthur.
Be Arthur.
And we'll see you next time.
Bye.
I got a feeling, oh, I got a feeling. I took a beating, oh, I took a beating, but now.